sweet Susie. Hello, welcome to the Brosipode. Or wait, Woo! Is that what we're going to say? Brosipode? Brofisode of the Fangamer Podcast, episode 27. This one's going to be a lot of testosterone. Liz is out for this show. She's off. She's out at a wedding. There's too many somethings on the dance floor, if you know what I mean. Anyway, the show topic is going to be talking about video games based on different franchises like movies, comic books, TV shows, that sort of thing. And can they be or have they ever been any good? Kind of a delving into that idea. We have some Fangamer news about the Speed Gamers charity, talking about how much money they ended up making, some issues with the Pipe Vault shirt, and more. We're going to do our favorite segment of Ask a Question, Get an Answer, especially since Casey's back, and I have a feeling it'll be always awesome, as we expect from Casey. So, but let me introduce, yes, Casey Toner is back. He's just been on two power dates, and we also have another podcast veteran, Ben DJ Catan, is here to help co-host with me. Thanks for joining, Ben and Casey.
No problem,
here
buddy.
Saturday night.
No problem.
So let's just crack into it. So I think Casey's familiar with the segment of Ask a Question, Get an Answer, where you just ask whatever you want of the other two people on the cast, and they have to answer it. We ask that we do keep it somewhat, you know, PG rated for the kids, and you know, keep it down there for them. But other than that, you know, it's free reign. So does anyone have a question ready to go?
I do.
Yes, Casey, do it.
All right.
This one is for you, Ben.
All right.
Are you ready?
I think I might be.
Okay. What was the most embarrassing thing? The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you when you were in high school?
When I was in high school, the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is kind of a cop-out answer in a way. But
boo!
In my senior year, no.
Don't talk it down already, Ben. Come on, what do you got?
It's
there?
Just kind of a retrospective thing, as in, like, I didn't have very much of a fashion sense or a sense that, like, hey, I didn't look very good with, like, basically a mullet on my head or something during high school.
Is this a mullet regret story?
It's sort of, but it kind of goes back to a wonderful decision I made back in 10th grade to trust my dad, who he works on a naval base, so he doesn't care too much about appearances in general.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it would be a good idea to ask him to dye my hair blonde.
Oh, this is already going really well.
Basically, this involved him wrapping tinfoil on my head and like putting some nasty bleach crap in there and like taking a blow dryer to it and just like pointing it at my head for like half an hour. And my hair was some color that resembled something blondish.
Oh, wow.
And not only was that really bad, and there are pictures of this, don't go looking for them.
Well, I have to like, add that over to the time, show notes.
I was so obsessed with my hair being like really long back then.
Yeah.
So that like when my hair started to grow back, like when the dark started to come back in, I didn't want to cut it because I didn't want my hair to be short. So there was, like, a really long period of time where my head just looked like a straight-up sunflower. And it was absolutely disgusting.
So it wasn't just a specific moment. It was quite a long period
of time.
Oh, no,
it was a period of my life.
Oh, that's man, you had to endure.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right, Casey, is it the same question for me, or do you have a different one? Because usually it's just the same, but if you want to change it up, I'm not going to stop you.
Okay. I have a good question for you, Garrett.
All right.
Are you ready?
I hope so.
What's the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you in high school?
In high school.
It's fresh?
I have them, but it's. I think it's actually junior high, but I'll pretend it's
high
school.
That's fine.
Because I know that Jen's going to be mad that I'm going to tell this story, but...
Oh, those are the best stories.
Those are the best stories, oh, yeah, right? Cool. Let's see. This is... And it's very embarrassing for me, but I still hold it over Jen's head to this day because she's somewhat responsible for this. So my wife now, we met when we were in eighth grade. And I think it was like the ninth grade summer. And for us, it was middle... It was junior high school. So you went to high school and you were a sophomore. So it was 3 years at high school. And it was the year between the two, I think, where we were friends and we had a big group of friends and we were all going to go see Speed 2 at the theaters.
Awesome.
And that's the end of the story. Speed 2 was the worst. No, I'm just kidding. So everyone, you know, we were all, gosh, how old are you when you're ninth grade? I don't know. No one could drive. So 13. We were all getting rides from our parents and... whatever the time was, I guess I got there last because by the time I got there, they had all convened and had met and bought tickets and went in. And I showed up and I didn't see anyone. And so I went to go get my tickets and I was like, all right, so it's Speed 2 at whatever time. And I buy the tickets and I go into the theater. I'm expecting to see them in the lobby. I don't see them anywhere. I'm looking around and thought, well, maybe they're playing the arcade games. And no, they're not doing anything. So I'm like, all right. Here by myself. This is a little weird. This is before cell phones, so there wasn't anyone I could call and figure out, you know, where are you guys? So I think, well, maybe they're all in the theater, like holding seats or something. That's kind of weird, but okay. So I go into the theater, and, you know, it's like 20 minutes for the movie start, or not even that. I think it's about 10 minutes for the movie start, so it's a little darker. They're doing the, what they call it, like the 15 or whatever before the movie starts, all the ads. They still had that back then.
Oh, yeah.
Went in there. And I didn't see him anywhere. So I'm like sitting at the very front and then looking back at the theater, trying to see where they are. I'm like, where are they? And then I'm like, did I get the wrong day? And I'm like, oh man, where is everyone? So I just sit there. I'm like, oh man, did they not go? Or did I mess something up? And I'm like, all right. So like throughout the movie, I just keep looking back thinking, oh, you know what it is? They're just really late. They just haven't gotten here yet. So I'll save these seats up here. I'll wait. And so I'm sitting there, and the movie starts, and I'm like, oh, man, they're really late. I'm looking back, and I don't see it. Anytime someone's coming into the theater, I'm looking back to see, you know, is that them? Is that them? And it's not them. I'm like, all right. So at some point, I'm just like, oh, I guess they're not coming. I guess I'll sit here and watch Speed 2 all by myself. So I watch Speed 2, right? And I watch the whole movie, and I'm like, yeah, it's terrible or whatever. And so I leave, and as I get out in the lobby, there everyone is. I'm like, what happened? And they're like, we saw you showing up, and as soon as you got here, we all ran inside to hide. And I'm like, what? Why would you do that? They're like, well, we thought you'd see us. I'm like, what? No, I didn't see you. What? And so there was two showings of Speed 2 at the same time.
Oh, no.
Different theaters. And so they were in the other theater. But when I came in, they were all, like, hiding from me. And I don't know what they were going to do. Like, they were going to be like, oh, we... pretended to ditch you instead of actually ditching you, which is what happened. And then, you know, I went home after that, and that was the story. So that was probably one of the more, at least for me, embarrassing moments. I mean, it wasn't in high school or at the school. It was the summer to it, and I still hold that over Jen's head to this day of, oh, you're going to ditch me, huh? You're going to go speed to you in the other theater? To this day. I mean, I didn't know we were going to get married at the time, but yeah. I still, and now it's been immortalized in podcast format, and she'll probably be really sad about this. But Jen, I love you. We're married. It's all cool now, right? It's fine. It's good times. Okay, so that's my story. Okay. Ben, you got a question? Hopefully you do, because I sure don't.
Sure. This is sort of a random question, but
yeah,
we were talking about...
Yeah, that's the point, man.
Yeah, we were talking about beverages earlier and, like, interesting tastes and stuff. So this question, to keep it sort of PG-rated, let's broaden it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. What is the worst thing, remember, PG, you've ever tasted?
Okay.
PG.
Oh, man. The worst... Oh, I already forgot the name of the drink I was telling you about earlier, Ben. Oh, Jägermeister. That's worst thing, though. That's just me. Okay, there's gotta be something worse than that. Worst thing I ever... Oh, man.
I can't answer this question.
you can,
well,
you said?
You gotta try, Casey, and you gotta try and keep it within the confines of... gosh... I can at least say, like, the worst thing, one of the worst things that I continually go back to is La Frogue, which is the Scotch Islay that I drink that I think I might have described it on the podcast before, but it's essentially like peaty, mossy death
Oh man.
in liquid format.
Sounds like a whiskey.
It's a Scotch, it's Islay, so it tastes like somebody made scotch in a boot, a leather boot. So it has a real leathery taste to it. It's smoky, and then they set the boot on fire, so it's smoky. And then they took some of that embalming fluid that you use, like formaldehyde, and they poured some of that in there, and that's the drink that you drink. I think the website we were looking at earlier, I was telling Ben about this.
Oh
They
yeah, I still have it
say
up.
it's the most what most.
Like the oh crap, I guess I did close it. It's like the most strongest tasting
Strongly flavored, or something
yeah,
like that. And
strongly
it's like,
flavored.
and I was like, yeah, if you like the taste of death, that's probably what this is
Right
the
up your alley.
closest
And
to.
like
down at the bottom of the website, it was something, it had some metaphor about like how some friends you might not like at first, but if you stick around long enough, you might get to know them a little better.
I
And how
agree
they're likening that to their alcohol.
that is what Lafroig is like for me. I go back and like, whew, it's a rough couple drinks, and then you just smell like you've been sucking on a boot. So you have like this leathery breath for a while, and Jen loves that. So that's probably the grossest thing that I continually go back to that I can think of. Casey, you really got nothing for this? Maybe
No,
you'll have to
I
think of.
do.
Oh, okay.
I have a brilliant answer.
Okay,
This
go
one,
for it.
it's gross, but it's PG, so it's
Yeah, that's
PG.
good.
All
Good
right,
job.
cool.
Well, maybe when I was like 14 or 15, I did something dramatic and I moved out of my house, or out of, no, out of my room in my parents' house and into the basement.
All right.
Yeah, and our basement was like, it was kind of a gross place. I mean, it was dark all the time, you know.
Spiders, a lot of
Oh,
spiders.
dude, there were spiders, there were ants, there were probably some mice down there, and you
But you
know.
were on your own. You were your own man.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
I was the master of my parents' basement.
Oh
But one time there was a bug down there, and it's a silverfish. Do you know what a silverfish is?
no, especially since it sounds like it's a fish and not a bug, but
No,
I'll listen to the story.
it is the ugliest, gnarliest thing you will ever see. I see him now and I get the willies. Because with spiders you can see them and you can appreciate them a little bit because they're interesting and they're you know smart for
I'm
an instant.
afraid to Google this. I don't think I'm gonna. I think I'm just gonna listen to your description and be like,
Oh
it's gonna be like a
yeah.
chupacabra for me. I'm just gonna
Oh,
be afraid of it
it's so
forever.
gross. And
Okay.
they're hairy. They have like these long hairs.
Oh,
And
hey, there's a picture. Oh boy. All right.
oh yeah. So oh yeah. They're big and ugly. And it looks like they have hairs on all sides of them. So it almost looks like they have like a million. Looks like they have a million little feet that crawl around the place. And I saw one on my floor once. And I do whatever I do when I see a bug. I went, ah! And then I whacked it with a book. And then I just left the book there. So the book was there for a long time. The book was there for a long time. And until one day, like, I moved it. And I saw something on the floor.
Oh no.
And I thought it was a piece of candy. So I went and I put it in my mouth. And then I realized that it was this nasty ass bug that I killed like 3 weeks ago. I immediately sped to my industrial sink and like put my tongue underneath the faucet and tried to like blow the bug juice out of my mouth.
Oh, it's so good. And just how did that look like a
I
candy?
don't know. And why the hell would I just eat a piece of candy on the floor but just sitting there?
That's like a life lesson you learned right then. Like, don't eat things off the floor.
Oh,
They might be
yeah.
bugs that you killed.
Like,
I
why would you
forget.
have a piece of candy under a book?
You're like,
Oh.
I'm gonna surprise myself. When I go get that book, I'll put a candy under it. Like, reward, you picked up the book.
It was one of the. I mean, I am
Incentive
like.
reading.
I am confounded that I thought that was a good idea. But hey, everyone makes mistakes. You saw Speed 2, and
Yeah.
I ate, you know, a hellspawn bug that was crushed under a book.
Wow. That's. Man, I'm not going to have any good question after that. Or at least I don't have to answer anymore. Okay. I'm gonna go. I like to go a little more serious with these, I think, than everyone else, because I like to get to know you guys a little more in-depthly, and then I think everyone else appreciates that a little bit, to kind of get, tug at
Sure.
those heartstrings a little bit. So I'm gonna go off
Ask Ben
of.
about abortion.
I'm gonna go on. Before the show, we had a really long lead up to this show today, so we've had a lot of discussing, and we've gotten a little surly beforehand. So, I apologize for any craziness that occurs as we go along. But we talked a little bit about relationships and love, and what is that ideal woman for you? And I think that's the question I'm gonna pose to both of you guys. What is that the ideal person for you? What is their what are like the top two or three things that you really hope they'll be like? And maybe, the love connection will be made on the Fan Gamer podcast. I don't know. But I'm gonna start with Ben. What is in the girl that would be yours? What would that be? If you're thinking 10 years down the line, this is who you wake up next to, and then you just get super excited when you see it. But yeah, life, woo!
I guess things that are sort of essential for at least any sort of relationship for me, be it like a romantic one or just like a friendship, is that you have the ability to communicate and be like completely honest with that person.
Okay,
That's
honestly, that's
important.
good. That's very important. I am brutally honest to my
You have to
fault.
be.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't hide things, and like if something's bothering you, then it's not going to get fixed unless you bring it up.
It's like
So.
Fan Gamer Love Line right now. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Continue on.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's sort of silly thing is like at least for me, I like feeling like we are into the same things. And maybe that's not too silly,
Similar
but I.
interests, fair enough.
Like, I don't know. A lot of my previous girlfriends have known about Fan Game and all that stuff, so we've had like that huge part of me at least to like bond by.
They've been
Just
gamer
stuff along
nerds.
those lines.
Yeah, and that's like, that's not a common thing to find, really. I mean, girls that are into this whole genre of, I mean, we're not just at the top layer, the top crust of gamer nerdness. I mean, we're down there. We're a company about that. We're pretty far into it, so that's very fortunate of you to have found several who are into it.
And I guess one final thing would be someone that would really feel like your best friend in a way. Like someone that like you could talk to about anything and just have a really good time, just
Wow.
having fun
This got really emotional. I feel close to
with.
Ben now, and I think
Oh
that we've
yeah.
taken the testosterone out of the brodeo here.
I'm sorry,
No, that's my own fault. No, that was good. Okay, and if you're interested in dating Ben, send an email to podcast@fangamer.com, and I'll
He's
get
a
you guys
keeper
hooked
though,
up.
man.
He is a
Ben is a
keeper.
good
I'll
guy.
vouch for Ben, no
Yeah.
doubt. Okay, Casey, I think you have some experience in this a little bit of kind of having to figure out what's the lady for you. What would you describe that as?
My ideal partner would be there with me to scout out new breakfast dives, cook up elaborate meals, eat foreign food, taste new wines. She would feel music in her bones and take an interest in admiring art of all kinds. She would make me want to be a better human being.
Oh.
I want to be with someone who has soft, caring eyes, someone who can say, "I love my family," and learn to say, "I love you" with no modifiers. Someone with a heart for other people, a mind for conversation, a spirit for adventure, a soul for laughter. Someone who does not lie, someone who believes in romance and treating people right.
Wow. It's almost like you had that written down.
Oh, almost.
Almost, but
I'm so
no. It's like you pulled
spontaneous.
it straight from the heart.
Oh, yeah. It's like almost like I wrote all of it down and used it on my Match.com profile and then just spit it out on the Fan Gamer podcast.
But you
Well,
wouldn't
but
have done that, though.
Oh,
no.
no.
But at
No,
least
that
it's
would be the
but that is you. I mean, you did write that. I mean, we didn't steal that from like a movie or something. That's not, Tom Cruise saying that to what's her face. Now, this is Casey
Saying it to
Toner.
Tom Cruise.
That is all his.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's
Tom Cruise.
so if ladies are interested in Casey, same email, podcast@fangamer.com. Although I think he's probably doing pretty well after reading that. I mean, I kind of want to date him after hearing that. So All right, as we've completely derailed the show from anything having to do with video games, and anyone who happened to listen to us just because they like video games has already shut this off, so anyone who's left, we're going to take a quick break here and then talk about Fangamer News. Let's do some quick product updates. So the Pipe Vault shirt, as many people hopefully know by now, there were issues with the printing of the shirt. The printer kind of made a mess up when they were taking the image that we sent, which was kind of the first time we'd actually done like a hand-drawn image that was scanned in and then was supposed to just kind of be direct port to a shirt. They kind of vectorized it and made it look a little more smooth. And so it looks fine. It's just, you know, we have a real attention to detail that we care about, and it didn't meet the standards that we're usually up to. You know, we appreciate from our vendors. So they are refunding and letting us reprint again. So we sent out to all of the people who ordered the shirts, you know, an email explained to this to them, and if they want the kind of the misprint shirt, they can still get it, and we'll take the refund that we're getting from the printer for it to do the other print, and actually donate that to the Speed Gamers as well. So
I'm happy to say
that the majority of the people actually did that. So a lot of, you know, we were able to donate even more back to the Speed Gamers. I think this is probably not exact, but I think it's close to $8,000 is what we ended up donating to the Speed Gamers and to the Act Today or Act Now charity.
That's great. That's amazing.
So, I don't think we knew it was going to be quite like this. The Speed Gamers probably knew that this is what it would be like, but, I mean, it's been pretty insane seeing all these orders come in, and it was unfortunate to kind of have this slip up happen, but this is probably the best way it could have happened because it allows us to actually use those shirts instead of just kind of, you know, we can't do anything with them. So they're still going to good cause, and you're able to give some crazy math, like 130% to charity.
How does it look? I mean, do they look like garbage?
They do not. That's the thing, is that the original design was kind of, it was actually hand-drawn by John. So it has that kind of sketchy look, right? So it looks like a hand-drawn image, literally on a shirt. That's what it was supposed to be. But they kind of took it through and kind of vectorized it, so it like smoothed out all the edges. So it loses that kind of that it looks like it was sketched out, and it looks like it was more done on the computer instead. So it still looks fine. You get the essence of the image, but it's not what we had sent to them. So it's a little unfortunate, but it actually worked out in the end. I mean, we were able to donate more to charity, which was cool. Ben and I were looking at before the show, the Speed Gamers Marathon stopped today. They made it through the Mario Marathon, and I think the total was at $57,000.
$57,000, yeah.
How long were they doing it for?
They did it for about a week and like a day straight, I think.
Did they sleep?
It's been a bit over, yeah.
It's a 24-hour deal, man. They played every Mario game.
Well, a lot of people, and they do switch off in between people.
Oh, yeah, it's not the same guy. It's a team of them. It's the Speed Gamers, but they, you know, yeah. So
I was gonna say that would be terrific if he just like
just
one guy who
one guy
played for a week and then he just died.
Oh, that would be sad because
And
that
then you
would
would
be
donate
really
for
tough.
him.
Yeah,
Yeah,
to his family.
for his kid or something like that.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
that's kind of the update on the Pipe Vault and the Speed Gamers stuff. Another really cool thing to talk about here is that the CT Fan Fest website has gone live. So right now, if you go to fangamer.com/fanfest, you will see our countdown as we get once we get to, I think it's this Friday here, the event will start. We've been hyping it up a
That's
little
beautiful.
bit, but we'll go over it briefly again. It's a playthrough of Chrono Trigger where I think 5 or 6 5 days a week, there'll be a certain point you need to get through on the game. Every night that we do the actual have a point. There will be a host on Ustream playing through it live, so you can go watch with them. I think I'm doing one somewhere near the middle with Jen. All the Fangamer guys have probably signed up for one by now. A bunch of the Starmer.net guys.
Is there still time?
They're for
Oh yeah.
signups.
Yeah.
We're kind of looking out for particular individuals, so we're not looking for like broad signups for people. But if you are, you know, like Casey, like since you're involved with Fangamer
Yeah.
and you wanted to, you know, we'd be happy to have you host one of the
You're cool.
nights. So it'd
Right?
be a good time. So the other cool thing is if you look on the actual FanFest site, you can see what are the Chrono Trigger inspired items that will hopefully be coming out alongside the actual FanFest itself. They're kind of hidden away to silhouettes now, but you can get a kind of idea, hint at what they might be. I know what they are. They are really awesome. There's a special figurine that is pretty freaking amazing. So when that comes out,
Oh
people are
yeah.
going to be. Yeah, it's
Was it a
kind of
Camille? Was
ridiculous.
it a
It is
Camille
a
Young
Camille.
design?
It
It's a
is,
Camille.
and
Oh
it's,
man.
there's another one of hers. I guess I could probably say that because I don't think that'll wreck anything. I think she has a design for from Twilight Princess,
You ruined it.
the princess girl.
Midna?
Yeah, Minna. She has one of that. I don't know if you guys seen it on her website, but or on her Flickr. I'd say it's on that level of detail, if not greater, in terms of like how impressive it is. So it's really cool. I'm excited to see that. And there's a couple other things on there. So check that out. Join us. The one thing I do want to say is that it will be a 5 days a week deal. So there'll be two break days. I forget for sure. I think one of the break days is Tuesday, and the other's like Thursday or something. So those are like the 2 days of the week where there won't be a live playthrough on Ustream. You can use that to kind of catch up and make
Catch up
sure you're with
days.
everyone. So yeah, that's coming up. And then I think we talked about this before, but just in case, because we had a couple questions on Twitter about Game Club and what's happening to that. Long-term Game Club, we're still not sure if it's going to just integrate with FanFest or what, or in the summer if we just kind of do a hiatus for the whole summer while we do this. But for the CT FanFest, we will be doing Game Club. It'll just be Chrono Trigger. So we'll talk about all the points we played up to that Wednesday and so forth. So it'll just be kind of a supplementary cast. It won't actually be done live on Ustream. It'll just be coming out weekly. So you'll see that. It'll be a good time. But the future of Game Club, we're still not sure. I mean, we still have a couple games we'd still really like to play, but we are talking about a lot of things in development about how Game Club might fit better into other things Fangamer is going to try and do. So that's kind of it for Fangamer news. We'll take a short break here and get into our show topic of franchise games and are they ever good?
Slim brown skin, disco jet. Teddy, she's the angels behind. He gets less hearts and halos and wing sets. Earthless, guess you're making nothing much less. Such stars leave the heavens upset. And it got his quick rest, the more clever he gets. Jet calls Rex, steady, deeply regrets. Defects and confidence keeps him set in spiritual deaths. Still the best at worst, a demigod at best. Beats will make you sweat like Russian roulette. Spin a revolver, baby, bang, bring my shit. We need a great December day. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Baby, it's down the bed. Baby, it's down the bed. Baby, it's down the bed. Baby, baby.
Show topic, franchise games, are they ever good? Liz put up, I think this show was actually her idea. After we did the show about the games that you love, but they really just suck, Liz and I kind of talked about how a fair amount of them ended up being franchise-based games off of, like, Disney games, and and it was just funny that, like, a lot of them came from that, so we decided maybe, you know, let's talk about it in depth more. Are there really any games that are any good? And so we went to the forum thread, and I definitely want to thank everyone for their comments in the thread. We used a lot of that to kind of build up what we're going to talk about in the show today. Let's kind of continue on. Let's start off. I think the first one I have written down, actually, because I added in later, was a game called Fester's Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about this one, Casey? I actually don't know about this one.
Fester's Quest is by far the crappiest tie-in ever put on a video game. Because, one, you play Fester, and who wants to be Fester and go on a stupid quest?
What is that based on? Like, what is this? What is it? A movie?
Yeah,
a TV show?
Yeah, yeah, you know, because Adam's Family.
Oh my gosh, the Adam's Family?
Yeah, yeah. So Fester is his own video game. I mean, I would want to be like Gomez. I thought Gomez was sweet. I would play a video game with Gomez in it. or his like Babe Goth wife. I would play that video game. Even maybe like the Fat Kitty Hat or a game about Sting, the hand. But they made this one about Fester. And Fester's Quest was, I don't even know what his quest was, but you had, like, you could get hit twice. And if you got hit twice, you would die, and you only had two lives, and you had no continues. And every time you started out the game, you would start out with the crappiest gun. So it was just like, it was like Fester genocide every single time you tried to hit. It was garbage. I don't understand it.
All right, so we've started off. Yeah, how far did you ever beat it?
Oh, no, I got, like, in the first level, and I just sucked too much.
Okay, so far, no, these games aren't good. So to kind of counterpoint that, came up in the thread immediately, GoldenEye being one of the kind of best franchise games. And I, on the side of green, yes, it is, but I almost feel like it was, not a fluke, but, like, a calculated, like, the people who decided to make GoldenEye into a game were like, well, everyone's got really low standards for James Bond games already. So we can't really do too much worse. And, you know, it's never been moved to a FPS before. So as long as we really don't screw it up, it'll probably be fine. You know, that's kind of the feeling I get when, like, the developer probably was putting it together. But I think a lot of it has come with, it was the first one that kind of, they did a lot of things very smart, you know, the whole missions having multiple objectives, and it's not all about just killing people. It's about kind of finding different, you know, pieces in the level and using those to open doors. And,
it's about being James Bond.
So, and being James Bond. And what's funny is, like, I mean, you guys have seen the movie GoldenEye, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I actually haven't. Like,
okay, this would be good, Ben, for you especially. You should go watch it, because you'll be like, okay, I spent a lot of time in this part of the game here, and they just blaze through this part like in 2.5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So they did a good job of, like, building it out and, like, making it a universe and a world and that you can explore and do things in. But it's just funny, like, that I feel like they really had to just, they took the idea of what they were doing in the movie and then just really, really built on it to make it into a game, which is probably the best way to do it. You know?
And the multiplayer was killer.
Yeah, and to not stick with the rigid format of, oh, you have to have every scene, everything, and really just kind of, you know, move on. Because they had a couple things that were from the movie, like the whole tank sequence, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or you're shooting the rockets at it. Just kind of ridiculous. But I was like, Ben, I had never seen the movie, and I had played the game a lot.
Yeah.
And then I went and saw the movie, and I'm like, wow, they really did take a lot of liberties with the game. It's still a good game, but so we're all hardcore GoldenEye fans, obviously. I think we've all played GoldenEye a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So,
everybody.
Did you guys ever play with the setup where you use two of them, the two controllers? I forget what it was called.
What?
I'm talking about? There was a setup where in
it's
the
like
controllers.
Like a cheat or something? A hack?
No. Like, you know how when you went to set, like, which buttons map to what, right? You could change one of them where you actually were playing the game using two controllers for one character. You guys never did that?
That sounds terrible.
It had actually, it wasn't too bad because it lets you aim and shoot with one hand and then move and look with the other hand. So it was actually a little bit more like how you play an FPS like on a computer with like your keyboard and your mouse. Like you can look and move independently. Whereas, I mean, if you guys remember GoldenEye, you had to hold down like the R button to like
aim
and shoot something. Whereas this was like you could look It was more like a computer FPS when you played it that way. But you had to use two separate controllers to play.
So this was in GoldenEye?
Yeah, I may have looked this up. I forget what it was actually called. I'm sure plenty of people out there have done this. I was surprised neither of you guys had done it, though. So GoldenEye 2, two controllers, I don't know, something like that. It had a certain name, which was kind of funny, but... they made a remake of GoldenEye? What?
Yeah, no, they're the making it now, they're actually. Right now.
Oh, yeah. With Daniel Craig in it.
Yeah, it's actually for the Wii, being made by Activision.
Ridiculous.
It was revealed at E3.
So,
I think GoldenEye was like one of the first games that really like made love to the N64's idea that four people could play at one time.
That's true, because
definitely.
Like you think, I think back to that now, and how many games I played on such a super small portion of a screen. I mean, we're talking like my DSi XL here, like the is like the same size screen as I was playing. Like
you're not even kidding.
No, it probably is pretty close to that because like. You know, you don't have the biggest TVs growing up, and like you have like this crappy small TV, and then your four friends come over, and you're all playing split screen. I remember playing a lot of Turok on there.
Remember you got like the Mario Kart.
Oh, I remember cheating so hard, like looking at everyone else's screen.
Exactly. That.
I remember a lot of people who would like put up little cardboard dividers on the screen, so like you couldn't see what the other people were doing.
How does that even work? If you're looking at the TV dead on.
Yeah, it was very weird, but so anyway, that was so GoldenEye. Obviously, I think it's one of the first ones, at least for a lot of people, where they kind of felt like, "Wow, a video game based on some movie franchise can actually be good." And along the same lines, I'm going to skip ahead to the Spider-Man games because that was one where I think near the same time frame for PlayStation. Did you guys ever play one of the first Spider-Man games for PlayStation? It was made by Neversoft, who at the time was making the Tony Hawk games. So they had literally come out with like the second Tony Hawk game, and then they came out with the Spider-Man game, which was totally awesome. Like it was really like compared to every other Spider-Man game that come out, 3D, you can jump up on the walls, you can do all the web slinging and everything.
Was that the one where it was kind of like Grand Theft Auto meets Spider-Man?
That was the later ones.
I think it was for PS2, yeah.
Yeah, when they got out to Xbox, those ones really were, like, swinging through the whole city, and it was a lot more like that. But this one was literally using, like, the Tony Hawk engine. So like, kind of tell that it was in that same feeling. And I think that's a lot of why you could play as Spider-Man in some of the later Tony Hawk games, because they had the the assets already built. But, again, that's where I was like, that's where, at least for me, it kind of turned the tide of thinking, wow, you have the right developer. It's not that you're cursed because of the license you have, that you have to stay true to the IP, like with maybe a Star Wars game, which we'll get into, but that you could, if you allow the team to be good at what they do, you can make these games really good. So
you can do anything.
You can. And so on the other side, let's move back towards then like a game like the Star Wars games. They've come out since Nintendo. They came out on like, Atari,
yeah,
and on
PC.
I think for me, this is one of those franchises that has gone back and forth.
Oh yeah,
multiple times. I think they're probably in the plus now that we're in kind of the the 3D age, because you can play games like, I think Jedi Outcast. That was I love those games. Those were all great. You know, being a freaking Jedi, running at the lightsaber, first person shooter, chopping guys in half. That was, or turning on the cheat code for realistic saber combat, so that, because in the game, like you would hit like a stormtrooper like twice with your lightsaber and then he'd die, which is ridiculous. You hit that guy once, he should be dead. If you accidentally run into him with the lightsaber, he should die. And that's what, if you turn that code on, that's what would happen. If you even nudge a stormtrooper with your lightsaber, their arm would get chopped off and they'd fall down dead. But, the Star Wars games started off on the other side of this fence, at least for me. Like, the Super Nintendo games, a lot of the forum thread, there's a lot of love for the original ones, and I disagree.
I have messages for all these
Nintendo
people. If you like Super Empire Strikes Back, go buy that thing on the Virtual Console and play it today. That game is trash.
Yeah. It's trash.
I'm like breaking hearts here. But
did you ever play them, Casey? So any of them?
I played I played a lot of these games. I mean,
yeah,
I
played, me too.
I played the one for Nintendo.
Yes.
And at the time, it like when I got that lightsaber, when I like did a bunch of flips in that cave, and then I met Obi-Wan, and he gave me a lightsaber. I mean, I thought I was, I thought I was like the king of.
No, it was, because the way that game is built, what you are literally having one of the most painful experiences on the way there. You're man, Luke and his gun, this sucks. You're just getting
Luke.
You're getting
feel
dealt
his pain.
And you finally get that lightsaber, and you're like, yes, because that's all you wanted the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
just
yeah.
wanted the light. That's all you want from any of these games is that.
Or you could use the Force to heal yourself, too, I believe.
Yeah. Either a lightsaber or you wanted, for some reason, the LucasArts folks really think that everyone really wants to fly in a, what do they call it? I forget the names, the little ships, and then take down the walkers, the AT-ATs.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
every single freaking Star Wars game now has that. They're like, oh, everybody loves this. They've taken down those speeders. I think the Super Nintendo era, I mean, for what they were at the time, I still didn't even like them back then. I remember renting those and being like, wow, this just, it fell in line with what I learned at a very young age. You do not get video games based off of any sort of TV show, movie, cartoon, anything. They're just terrible. There's a couple exceptions which we'll bring up, but for the
is there any Star Wars game where you can get that kid that played Anakin in the first movie and just like drop him into Hoth and just let him get eaten by a bunch of those, you know, abominable snowmen that live there?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because last week we talked about one of my favorite games that's a terrible game, which is a Star Wars game, which is Jedi Power Battles for PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about this, but there is a sequence where you are escorting Anakin through like this canyon or trying to rescue him from danger. And you can attack him. You don't have to, but like the thing is, he's not that smart. This is why that game sucks. Because Anakin would like run up next to you, like to hide from bad guys. Yet you're like swinging your lightsaber left and right and hitting him in the head, and he's taking all this damage. And you can totally kill Anakin because of friendly fire. So you would save
the Empire.
You would. But you don't make it to the end of the game. So but that's kind of unfortunate.
I think that's for the best, really.
Oh, I do too.
So, but I mean, now you got a lot of really good Star Wars games. You got like KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, the RPGs. Those are by BioWare. Those are really amazing games. The Pod Racer game was a good time.
I liked it.
Jedi Outcast. So they've really turned it around. But like on the other side, we were kind of talking at the beginning of the cast about. Like, and I was just saying how when you're a kid, you kind of know to not play games that are based off like Disney stuff. So let's go into those, because that was the other one that the forum thread got a lot of conversation about various Disney games. And I think, Ben, you had a happy video game nerd thing about this.
Yeah. If you go to RetrowareTV.com, there's a guy called the Happy Video Game Nerd. A lot of people probably heard of him because of his Earthbound review, which was like 24 minutes long and was crazy and awesome. But he did a video about, for the NES, Capcom did a bunch of Disney licensed games. And they're all fairly pretty decent. Like, a lot of them like take from their existing games. Like, some of them are like basically Mega Man but dumbed down. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it's just a good highlight of like how this could be done right.
Yeah,
you know?
Like
I think it's really interesting to watch.
Well, we were watching it earlier, and it kind of brought back some games. I remember like Rescue Rangers. Did you guys play that?
Oh, that was a beautiful.
Right. That was pretty good. We were watching Darkwing Duck on there. I never played it.
Let's get dangerous.
Did you actually play the game, Casey, by chance?
I did not. I was not that dangerous.
I look at it, and it is
not that dangerous.
It is. They even say it's essentially a Mega Man clone. So it's actually like really impressive looking. Like, oh wow, that looks like a lot of fun. And so I'm sad that my young jadedness kept me from playing some of these games, because I think I would have really enjoyed that. DuckTales, on there looked pretty fun.
Oh, DuckTales! They had great music.
They did, and then
absolutely.
So I was going to try and play this before the cast, because everyone talked about Aladdin and Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you played either of those, Casey?
I have. Aladdin was really fun because it had like Prince of Persia elements.
Ah, okay.
You would do a lot of swinging and jumping, and the animations were like really fun and fleshed out. And Lion King had you know, a lot of the same things. And they had voices in it, which blew my mind. I mean, if you got like an extra life or something, Rafiki would come on and you would say, "The king has returned." And I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be a great ringtone.
Yeah.
So, Ben, have you played either of those?
I have. I think I remember renting The Lion King for the Super Nintendo, and it was a really good time. And I say this probably because I had the cheat code that let you warp to like the last stage. But no, it was pretty solid. I know like there were a few stages where it got pretty stupid, but
Were those both Capcom by chance? I didn't look this up. I probably should have.
I don't think
Really? I don't
so.
think or so, right? Okay. So, but I think the Disney games in general then are kind of held with a they meet the bare minimum at least. Like they're pretty good. They're
Oh,
not
yeah.
totally awesome, but they're pretty good.
Oh,
Okay.
Disney can throw down the money.
Okay.
I mean, it,
So,
yeah.
back maybe we'll go back to maybe a bad one. The South Park first person shooter for N64.
Oh, yeah.
That I
Peanut snowballs.
actually, oh my gosh, that game was like $65 or something when it came out, and I bought it full
I got
price.
it for free.
Oh my gosh, and I played that game. I think I even had to reserve it at
Oh,
GameStop. Like
man.
I'm thinking back, I'm like, wow, this should have been my most shameful moment of high school. As I really like South Park, I'm like, oh, this game's gonna be the best. And I was like, probably reading about it in some magazine, like EGM or something. And I get that game, and the only thing I can remember that was actually kind of cool is you had a gun that like shot piranhas or something, like little fish that would attack. I thought that was pretty cool, but oh man, that game was terrible. And I played through the entire thing. I beat that game, but I just remember a lot of just walking around in cloudy rooms and. It just, oh, it was a terrible game. But there, to kind of counterpoint that, recently that's come out. There's a South Park Tower Defense game for Xbox Live that is actually pretty good. I mean, it's a tower defense, so you really can't do too much to screw that up. But they add a couple cool spins to it that make it fun. But to go back to the FPS though, did you guys play that by chance? The South Park
I
FPS?
have never played it. I
Okay,
think they had a
well,
racing game
yep.
actually back
They had
in
a
the day.
racing game?
Yeah, it was like South
Yeah,
Park
they did.
Auto or
Oh
something like that.
gosh, that has to be pretty terrible too.
Yeah, it was
Yeah, I played
garbage.
the FPS and it
Oh
was
man. Do you ever
garbage.
play
Absolutely
multiplayer?
garbage.
Do you ever have any friends who'd be willing to actually play that
Oh
multiplayer with you?
definitely. It
Now,
wasn't any more fun.
am I imagining this, or did they have like some weapon involving urine? Like a
No, you pee on the snowball to throw the snowball.
Yeah, that was, and then like that was like the reload. You had to pee on it again and then throw it at the guy.
Well, no, I think it was just like an alternate shot because you could throw normal snowballs or you can just pee
Right,
on
or the pea snowball.
them.
Yes. Oh,
That's like a
such
good
cute.
metaphor for like playing a game is like getting hit in the face with a
Pee
pea snowball.
snowball. Oh, that's so gross. Okay. What else do we
Or
have on this
tasty.
list? Oh, Batman Arkham Asylum that recently came
Oh,
out.
yeah.
I actually picked this up just the other day and played through it a little bit yesterday afternoon, and it's definitely amazing. And to be honest, I can't think that there has actually been a good Batman game until this one, right? I'm pretty sure all of them have been crap until this. I remember
Really?
playing the one for Nintendo.
Oh, that was
Oh my,
garbage.
that
Yeah, we
was
don't talk about it.
terrible. Oh my
Not bring it
gosh.
up.
And you always want to play him so much, because it's Batman, you know? Freaking
Oh, yeah. He's like one
Batman.
of
Of
the
course, of
coolest
course.
comic
And
characters.
just like the worst side scrolling and the weapons and everything, and it's just terrible. But Arkham Asylum's a good time. It's definitely, I think it probably helps though, is that it's not based on a movie. And I think, if I'm wrong, weren't most of the Nintendo Batman games
Oh,
usually
yeah, like
based off the movie
Batman Returns.
Returns? And yeah.
Yeah. Were there
So,
any
Batman Robin.
based off the animated series?
Yeah, there was
Was there
one.
one for Super Nintendo, maybe?
I
I
wonder if that
think
one was any
so. It might
good.
be good.
Because
I
I
don't
love the animated series for Batman.
Yeah.
That was just, it's still one of the best cartoons that's ever been done. They had full
Absolutely.
orchestrated scores for every
Episode.
episode, and
Yeah.
that's so good. SNES. Oh wow, that'd be cool to hear if it was actually pretty good. Oh wow, look at that. I hope it was good, because that was probably the best showing for Batman in my opinion. But anyway, Arkham Asylum's a good time. Just a really high quality 3D. It's its own story. I think that's what helps. It doesn't copy something else. That's probably one of the criteria we should list here, is that it looks like what we're finding out from this discussion is if it's a franchise game, you base yourself in the license of it, but don't stick with the movie. You just really take your liberties as an artist and do something else with it. So
Did they get Mark Hamill to play the
they
Joker?
did. They have Mark Hamill as
Oh,
the
wow.
Joker.
That
They
helps.
have the Batman who does the animated series Batman voice in there. The other characters, like Gordon, isn't the one from the animated series. It's just some other guy. But you can just tell there's a lot of attention to detail. So, like, they have little bios of all the different characters you can read up, so you kind of know how they fall into the comics. And you can, it's those little details like that where you can tell that the team that builds it is really doing it to kind of serve the fans and yeah, to not just
not just, not just to, cash in on it.
To not, yeah, to cash in and make that sweet Batman money. So there's that. So Ben, you brought up one from earlier that I wanted you to talk about, was Game Center CX. Can you tell us about this a little bit?
Right. Like, I'm not sure anyone would even be familiar with this, but I do want to just put it out there because I think, you know, if you looked into it, it might be something you guys would like.
Well, when you described it to me, I was like, wait, I have heard of this before. I don't know why, but I had. So go ahead, though.
Yeah, there was a game released on the DS here, I think sometime last year, called Retro Game Challenge. It's basically this DS game that's got a bunch of, like, little – it's got a bunch of different games in it. And they're basically, like, full NES games on, like, one little DS cart. But it's called Retro Game Challenge, but it's actually based off of a TV show in Japan, which it isn't very obvious from actually playing the game. But the game or the TV show, rather, itself is called Game Center CX. And it's a show about playing old, really hard video games. And the host of the show, he's, like, really terrible at games and stuff. So, like, it's really funny to, like, see him, like, try to struggle through, like, Mega Man or some crap. But, like, the games basically take, like, old classic games and, like, sort of parody them in a way.
Right. They're not using the original game. They kind of, oh, like, no. You're like, is this Double Dragon? But it's, like, different graphics, different music a little bit. So they're kind of doing their kind of artist parody of it.
Right? Oh, yeah. Which... like, there's one that is basically Dragon Quest. It's a full RPG, but it's just...
But then, like, they're kind of... They're also kind of, like, poking fun at it throughout, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the scary movie of video games.
Not so much in the unfunny way that the scary movie movies were, but...
It's satire. Yeah. You say it's probably the better way, but... Yeah.
Like, there were two games made. One of them didn't come out over here, and it's probably not going to, which is unfortunate because they have, like, a text adventure that they parodied in it. But, I definitely encourage people to pick up Retro Game Challenge just because, I mean, it sort of fits the topic.
Yeah, I mean, because it kind of takes all these other franchises you may be familiar with, these game mechanics, and then kind of... I just like anything that kind of breaks that third wall, you know, that can kind of talk about games... while you're playing a game and joke about it and have a sense of humor about it, which is, I mean, playing some of those Nintendo games now, I mean, it really, like, you have to have a sense of humor to be able to go through some of that stuff again. So the only other one I wanted to kind of bring up before we get into arcade games was, and this is another, wow, I'm really sad to say, like, I'm bringing up all these games I hope no one would ever know I have played, thanks to the podcast, which is the Harry Potter series of video games. I have played, oh man, like, all of them. And it's ridiculous because they are terrible. All of them are terrible video games. And I think, Ben, you even asked me this, right? You're like, why? Why? Are you just, straight up. I think you didn't want to be like, Garrett, you really, really like Harry Potter? Are you that kind of guy?
I asked if you like the books or something.
I have read the books once, each one once. I have not read any of them more than once. I've watched the movies a lot of times because I do like the movies. Not the first couple ones. Those ones kind of suck. But as they've gotten on, they're very, really good movies. I really enjoy them. Just the story, the fantasy, and they're good. It's that I don't know what happened, but I guess at the time when I was getting into the Harry Potter books, I was like, oh man, I should try out some of the games, because I was thinking, you know, GoldenEye was good, you know, maybe these will be good, maybe in general, like, franchise games have become good at this time, and that's not true at all. And so I played, like, the first, I think I rented the first one and played it, and I rented it and, like, actually beat the whole thing. Like, it's made for kids, like, the first one. So I got through the whole thing. And then, like, I went and got the second one, me and Jen were playing it. It was just a terrible game. And it has, like, all these crazy, like, this has to be super frustrating for a kid moments. And I'm like, man, if I was a kid, I would quit this. This is the kind of reaction to your dad to come in and beat the level for you sort of situation. And at some point, it just became like this... let's just see if we can keep playing these, even though they're terrible. So we went, every time they've come out now, me and Jen always go to find it and play it. And the most recent one I played was the Order of the Phoenix, so I'm behind. But
like the new video game that's coming out, it's you can use some like serious wizard curses. You know, it's really? Not just like
you
using
can kill
like,
people, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can.
Wow. That's funny you mentioned that, because in all the other ones, it's, you know, you're just dueling, or you're just stunning someone. You're not hurting anyone. But
this new Harry Potter is getting
serious.
It's dark for playing for all the chips. But the thing I was going to say is that for the last one I played, it uses the Wiimote, and you actually make the motions, you know, as you like, which sounds really cool, right? But when you get into a duel scenario, you know, things get a little tense. You know, what's his face? Malfoy just called your friend a mudblood, and you want to throw down, and you got that blood rage.
Yeah.
And so you start doing the Wingardium Leviosa and all that stuff, and Petra Fraconis or whatever, and you're doing the little motions, and it's not doing exactly what you want. So essentially, it just ends up being you just flailing your arms about really rapidly, and just, you know, all these spells just kind of just come flying out of it. It's like Harry Potter just goes Super Saiyan, just launches all these attacks at your opponent, and they're all like kind of like homing attacks. So you don't really need to aim them. So you just start wailing your arms for like a couple seconds there, and you've just like decimated. Like, you were like dueling five guys at once, and you just destroyed them all. So
it's all done.
Yeah, that was. So anyway, they're pretty terrible games across the board, really. But as they've gotten on through the series, the production values have definitely gone up. So you see more from the movie. You can explore the entire castle or the school, which is pretty cool.
Is there a hot coffee cheat?
No, nothing like that. But it definitely it's one of those things where, you know, there's still we're trying to make money from this. They haven't found a developer who really is going to take that and make it into its own, just really good experience. I will need to go pick up the most recent ones and continue on my quest through the Harry Potter series. But
do they have like a multiplayer RPG, like a
no,
Warcraft
right?
thing with Harry Potter?
Look what he said, Ben.
I think you were, yeah, exactly. You were mentioning that, weren't you?
Because Ben was asking me, like, why could you possibly like these that much? And I know he's probably giving the weird eye, like, wow, Garrett's kind of a weird guy now. I was saying, I really feel like these would make a wonderful MMO.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the Harry Potter universe, if they want to bring in the money, they need to get someone like Blizzard on that. And they could really turn that into a really great MMO.
A phenomenon.
Would be amazing. Would, you know, a bunch of kids in school. And it just has the design that would work well. So, anyway, that
go
was...
like gangbusters.
Yeah, they would... I think something like that. And that's why I play them always thinking, when are you guys just going to do an RPG? Because I think that's what it translates to the best. You know, an RPG, Harry goes to school and levels up. I mean, that would be really fun. But not yet. Not yet. So the last thing we're going to kind of finish out the show on then is arcade games. The arcade games that were based off of various franchises, and for the most part, at least what we have listed, were pretty awesome. So the first one we have listed is the X-Men arcade game, which I really enjoy, but I went back to when we were down in Portland with the Fan Gamer guys, and we were at Ground Control. I saw the actual... They had the really, really big one. You could play like eight players.
Six players?
Or however the max is. Or I had like two TVs, you know, to do the display.
Yeah, six.
Yeah, yeah. And we were playing, or I saw people playing, and I'm like, oh man, this actually looks pretty frustrating. But I mean, it's still a good time, because it's X-Men. But I remember like my local grocery store version, you had to like actually pay more money to play the better characters. Like, if you wanted to be Colossus,
no way.
It was like 75 cents or something ridiculous. And like, what was
Jubilee was free.
Yeah, no, Jubilee was like the cheapest. Like, she and
they give
it was
you
also
money.
Well, the thing the way they did it was you'd play as like Jubilee and you get like eight lives, but you play as Colossus and you get two. So you still put in a quarter, but you got a different amount of lives per the different characters, which I was like, oh, that's BS.
Well,
but
yes.
In that case, it might be an issue of like balance between characters, because like if the characters were like wicked good versus what Jubilee, who would be terrible?
Plasma explosions, choo-choo.
Yeah. Fireworks, yay, fireworks.
Oh, Jubilee.
Not gonna lie, she's my favorite character in the cartoon. Moving right along.
I thought she had a going on. Just saying.
Oh, you guys. Yeah, yeah. I found her annoying at that age. There's no way.
I had a book all about Jubilee.
No.
Jubilee.
Jean Grey. That's where it was at. Okay. Anyway, now we've derailed that conversation. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Such like, a good time.
Like, not even just the arcade versions, though. Like, the home versions, like, Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo is pretty much a classic.
Really?
And, like, for me, personally, I don't think you need to look farther than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games for, like, a perfect example of how to make a video game out of
it. Have you ever played the first one for Nintendo?
Let's not talk about that.
So I was saying, I did make
a post about this on the forums that, like, the first one, I really don't think it's all that bad, but...
It's impossible.
It's true. Well, there are ways to break it, but, like, the other games, like, 2 and up, rather,
are just
phenomenal examples.
Once it's more the arcade format, but yeah, I remember many a summer waiting for movies to start at the theater, playing Mutant Ninja Turtles and Simpsons arcade game. We had that. So Simpsons, that's a good time.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because it was made by the same company and actually uses the same engine as the Ninja Turtles games.
Yeah, and until you said that, I was like, you know what, that does make sense. Although I'd say the Simpsons graphics are a little... I don't know, maybe it's just the art design. They feel like they're a little more crisp.
Yeah,
the only
reason
I know this is I have literally played this like within the last month and a half when we were at Ground Control. I think Reed and John and Sarcy had played through at least 3/4 of the game by the time I showed up, and then they left, and John was like all by himself about ready to go fight Burns. And John's like, come on, let's play, and so I sit down, and me and John spent probably $2 just fighting Burns because of like how cheap they made the end of the game where he just hits you and it takes away like almost all your health. But
those arcade games were just like money suckers.
They were, especially as you went on.
Yeah, and there's ways to crank it up, crank up the difficulty to ridiculous levels, and people do it. It sucks, but
yeah,
that's how it is.
That was there all about making that money back then. So
I remember playing the Teenage Mutant Turtles game at Aladdin's Castle, which was this...
Oh my gosh, Aladdin's Castle.
Yeah,
that got shut down when a bunch of gangs came in the mall. But anyways.
Wow, the same thing for ours.
Oh yeah, excellent.
It was probably something similar for ours as well.
Yeah,
good to hear.
They had those the tokens, right? Little Aladdin's Castle. Oh man, Casey, blast in the past. I have not thought of that for a long time.
But I used to get my quarters, and I was like really, I was young and I was foolish, and I would like give people my quarters so they could like play, so we had a better chance of success.
Right.
With like 4 players instead of 1. And I remember one kid, I started paying attention to him, and he was just pocketing my quarters.
Oh. What a jerk.
Oh, yeah, total. But that's probably why I got shut down, because of hooligans like that stealing the quarters of young, impressionable men.
Gosh, how funny.
Like, growing up,
I'm getting all these waves of nostalgia now, Casey, because of Aladdin's Castle. I remember having a birthday there. I was like 11 or 12. And the coolest thing was when it was your birthday and your parents like were doing the whole birthday package, however much they spent for you to have your birthday there, as the birthday kid, you would get this like velvet bag that said Aladdin's Castle on it that had like it was just full of the tokens, and you just pull your hand out there and pull out a fistful of tokens, and it was just the coolest feeling. And you'd hand them out to your friends, and you'd keep your bag and just keep plugging them in the machine. And I think I still had that bag for a long time because it's essentially like the nerd dice bag, but you got it from the arcade. So man, I completely forgot about that place. Good time. So Simpsons arcade game, that's a pretty good time. Marvel versus Capcom, I think Ben, you brought this up. This is definitely like the epitome of a franchise title.
Absolutely.
Versus franchise, and they do pretty well, right? I mean, I've always enjoyed those games.
Marvel versus Capcom, at least Marvel versus Capcom 2 is like probably one of the most played fighting games to date, and it came out like 10 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Those games are just so absolutely solid.
Yeah. Up here in Seattle, like, I think the Pink Gorilla is trying to get one of those. They have an arcade in there, and it's really like a... Yeah, I mean, I think I have that for Dreamcast, and I've played it multiple times.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Gosh, I don't know which... I think my favorite... It might be cheap, but my favorite guy in there was always Wolverine.
Wolverine.
I feel like Wolverine was probably really cheap, right? I mean, I really like
it. Oh, no, not really.
Cyclops is the cheapest. Cable were the cheapest.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
Cable and Magneto are like god tier, and
Oh,
like
yeah,
you get
Magneto.
frowned at if you use them, as well as Storm.
Oh,
Forget Storm
really?
so
I
much.
always liked one of my favorite X-Men was Gambit. He was my favorite, and he never
Yeah,
played that
Gambit sucks
well.
at the game, but he's sweet.
Yeah, he was always my
Yes.
favorite because he was just so like charming and cool,
Mon sali.
and he could use anything as a weapon. He just picks up a banana, charges it, and throws it at a guy, and bam,
Yeah,
you're
he
done.
does.
Which I was like, that's really cool. And I think I didn't really figure that out because at first he just does the cards. I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. He always has to use cards to fight people. But then later on, you see him like pick up like a trash can or something and like charge it up and throw it at a guy. I'm like, oh, why isn't he like picking up bowling balls and hitting things and chucking those at guys? But anyway, Gambit, he's my favorite X-Men. And since we're already derailed, but we're still doing good on time.
I have something to add about Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah, do it, Casey.
Go for it.
Marvel versus Capcom, one time, it saved me while I was at the laundromat. Because our refrigerator, not our refrigerator, our like washer went out of business, and our cheap ass landlord wouldn't get his ass out here to come and fix it. So I had to take all my laundry to the laundromat. And if you've ever spent any time in a public laundromat, it's like the zoo of humanity.
Oh,
There's all these
yeah.
angry people, and there was like a domestic situation that like broke out while I was at the
You know, it's
laundromat.
funny,
Wow.
Casey. I've been partial to the exact same thing, like domestic, like violence at the laundromat. Like my family, we didn't have a laundry machine for a long time, and I played through the majority of Double Dragon at a laundromat. So, anyway, continue your story.
I put in a quarter, and while I'm putting in a quarter, this guy just starts like yelling at someone over the phone. Like, you tell him that I'm gonna come over there and kick the blank out of blank out of blank right now. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's gonna kill somebody. So I put my quarter into the machine into the Marvel versus Capcom machine, and like the argument just started escalating. It kept on getting louder and louder and louder, and the only thing I could think of is, I'm not gonna pay any attention to this guy. I'm gonna play Marvel versus Capcom. And I got all the way to the final boss
Oh, wow.
without
Nice.
knowing how to switch my teammates.
Well, you're
But
just
then
like letting
he
them
was
die
almost
and
dead
moving
because he was too
on?
powerful, and I ended up losing.
Got like a Rain Man situation going on there, man. Except for he would have known how to switch the characters.
Yeah, I just didn't know how to switch the characters. I was unstoppable,
Wow,
though.
you were that good. You're like, wow, so it's just Wolverine versus everyone. And then all of a
Oh,
sudden he
yeah.
dies, and you're like, what? Oh, another guy. Awesome. And you don't know how to
Didn't
use
know how to
him.
do
Like, oh
any
yeah,
of
I picked these
the tactical
guys. I
tests
don't
or...
remember that.
Yeah, it was fun though, man. It saved my life.
Yeah, Marvel vs.
Do you think
Capcom
you would have
was
gotten involved with that guy?
I think I had to. It was my
Oh.
destiny.
The last Starfighter, Casey Toner.
Oh yeah.
Oh, good times. All right, well let's take a moment here and pause, and we'll wrap up the show. All right, guys. Well, it's been well, at least for me and Ben here, we've been going for at least 2, 3 hours
Oh,
now.
yeah.
Sorry about that,
Going crazy.
guys.
It's no, it's
No,
we
you're
had a
not.
good time. We talked about no, you're not. We're
I
talking
was
about
being a
booze and
Match.com Lothario tonight.
anyway. So Casey, thanks for joining in. Same
Problem,
for you,
man.
Ben. I
Oh,
appreciate
yeah,
it, especially
definitely.
considering Liz ditched this week to go to weddings and hang out with her friends and. But
Something definitely
luckily,
happened.
I know she'll never listen to this because she doesn't like podcasts, so we can say whatever we want about Liz at this point. But I'm going to try and do the ending of the show as good as Liz would do. So I need to get kind of weird and
Oh.
belligerent as it goes on and start hating the fact that I have to read all of these. So.
Yeah, you gotta do the like the voice inflection and everything. You gotta get your voice high up there. Can you do that?
No,
Oh,
that's a
come on,
bad
man. We can make
idea.
this work. We can make this work.
No, see, that is gonna come out. That will come back to get me. And that will be something that I have to still work with Liz on the podcast, so I am not going to go to that level of craziness. But I will say that if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/fangamer, and Liz runs the Twitter, so you can ask her what she was doing this weekend. You know, if she was having a good time, why she wasn't responding to your tweets, and so forth. Facebook, you can be our friend on Facebook. We'd love to be your friend on the Facebooks. Charlie runs that. Facebook.com/fangamer. Office Cam is on Fridays via Ustream, where we office hijinks. We have Camille doing art. Random people from bands in Tucson will show up and party down. Reed will always start off the show yelling very, very loudly at his mic. So, word to the wise, turn down your volume for the first couple seconds until everyone else complains to Reed about how loud he is. You can, I don't know if you can be a friend on Flickr, what you call someone on Flickr, or contact, but if you look up Reedman on Flickr, that's actually the Fangamer account. You can check out our awesome commercials videos on YouTube at username FangamerNet, and actually we just put up a new video. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's pretty hilarious. It's talking about the misprint for the Pipe Vault shirts, and it ends with some baby rib fiasco and Reed doing a dragon punch into Steve.
It gets rough.
A little behind the scenes for you guys on that. Reed almost killed himself several times doing takes for that part at the end. He almost fell and hurt himself multiple times and threw out his back. So he's got some back issues, that guy.
He's had some surgeries for like,
yeah, I feel bad for the guy. Like he's too young to have so many back problems,
but he's too Reed young.
Oh, that was great. Vimeo. Old episodes of Office Cam can be found there under the username Fangamer. Vimeo, I really like Vimeo. They had a lot of cool stuff on there. Our store is Fangamer.net. The blog is Fangamer.com, where hopefully we'll have a link to the CT FanFest, if not already. But by the time you hear this, there'll probably be one up there. You can check us out in Starman.net forums and leave us feedback and all that kind of good stuff there. If you have questions or comments, feedback, all that stuff, it's been a long time since I've gotten an email to podcast@fangamer.com. So
I'll send you one.
I usually got, you know, one or two a week, and I'd respond back to those people, and we'd have fun little discussions about, I don't know, all kinds of weird things. So we appreciate that. Or leave us a review on iTunes, guys. We really appreciate it, especially now that we understand how important they are. First, we thought people who always ask for reviews were just being kind of pompous and like, oh, come on, we're the best. You should leave us a review. It's actually a lot of what gets your podcast findable and visible on the store. So we'd appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. So we're going to sign off for the night. Hopefully, you know, we're about an hour or so here. People hung on past the intro segment. This is the end of the Brodeo episode. Thank you, Casey and Ben, for being on. Let's say goodnight, everyone.
I love you, babies.
Good night. Good night.